You know those cravings that hit you out of nowhere? Charred steak tacos, silky mushroom risotto, or a perfect summer salad. When the craving hits, Cookunity delivers. Made with real ingredients and no shortcuts. Get ready to eat meals delivered directly to your door, all tailored to your lifestyle, dietary needs, and cravings. Get what you're craving. Go to cookunity.com/crave or enter crave before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's cookunity.com/crave. Stuck in a dinner routine rut? Picking tonight's meal doesn't have to be stressful. Here's an idea. Let Cookunity handle dinner tonight with premium meals delivered to your door. New menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a growing community of award-winning chefs. Cookunity offers over 400 meals for every palate. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/rut or enter code RUT before checkout for free premium meals for life.
Hello and welcome to episode 58 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Langa. And Sim, it was a disappointing outcome this past weekend. The first true road test for the Boilermakers as they headed up north to South Bend. And it was a game where I think you kind of said it best, where quite frankly, the gap in talent was probably the thing that stood out the most. In the 56-30 loss against 21 ranked Notre Dame. But I think we'll get into it too. But clearly, this Notre Dame team, you know, really good. They've been ranked the whole year, and even though they started off 0-2, and we kind of talked about it in the preview episode, was just like, you know, they played two really good teams in Miami and Texas A&M. You're playing them at the worst time that you could possibly play them, coming off of two losses, and credit to them as they responded and showed why they are one of the top teams in the country there.
Yeah, and you knew, like we talked about, they were going to be, you know, a little angry coming off those two losses, but they lost to good teams. They lost to ranked teams. So, we knew we were going to have our hands full, and they definitely responded, especially Blake running on with their run game. I just think it was just a different – it was just kind of metaphorically speaking, it was like bringing, you know, plastic spoons to a gunfight. So
– and from the very first play for scrimmage for Notre Dame, Sim, it really just felt like it was the big plays that got away from this Purdue defense. You have this 66-yard touchdown, like we said, on the first play. You also have a touchdown run in the second half for 46 yards, a touchdown pass in the second half for 48 yards. You have the 100-yard kick return. When you're not stopping the run, and then when you're giving up big plays, it leads to giving up 56 points on defense.
Yeah, man. It's kind of crazy that they put up, you know, 60, they put up 56 points. Put 56 points on us. It was 10 less than last year. But they did that with CJ Carley throwing the ball 12 times. And that just speaks to what they were able to do on the ground. They ran for 267 yards. And yeah, I think that, I was saying right before we recorded, I think Notre Dame has the best 1-2 punch in backfield in the country with Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love. They're just two really explosive and powerful running backs. I mean, it felt like Jeremiah Love, every time he was getting the ball, he was going, you know, he was getting 5-6 yards before even having a first bout of contact. And he like welcomes contact. He dishes out punishment just as much. For a college running back that I've seen. So, it was just. I'm trying not to be like too. I'm trying not to be like too upset over what transpired, just because I knew it was always going to be like I said earlier, I knew it was going to always be like challenging to beat Notre Dame. I knew it was going to be, a tall ask, but it didn't make it any less kind of like frustrating to watch, especially as it just seemed like they just kept just bludgeoning us through on the ground. So, yeah.
And it seemed like, at least to me, kind of the key sequence in the game was late in the first half there. You're down 28 to 13, and Notre Dame has the ball, and you get the strip sack. And so you have all the momentum, and then, of course, you have the almost 2 hour weather delay, which, quite frankly, came at probably the worst time for Purdue, just because of all that momentum you had just gotten off the turnover. And so you have to come back out, and Notre Dame pulls Purdue to 3 points. So it's 28 to 16. And then they get the 100-yard kickoff return right after that. And just like that, instead of, being down one possession at halftime, it's 35 to 16. Now, to Purdue's credit, they were able to go down and score right before, quote unquote, halftime, since there wasn't really a true halftime, but right before the end of the second with a big play to Nitro, and only, was down 12 at half. But that's the sequence right there, just seemed really big. When you get the turnover, have a chance to make it one possession game, you can't, you have to kick the field goal, and then they rip off a 100-yard return, and just like that, you're down 19 points. It seemed like a kind of just like a gut punch, and kind of the swings of the game there.
I think we kind of talked about this last week with USC, about how like kind of the difference between where we're at and where we want to be is being able to take advantage of those opportunities. And like you said, we finally force a turnover. You force a turnover in plus territory. You're not able to, you're not able to kind of convert that into a touchdown. And then like you said, and they turn around and they return the ensuing kickoff back, and there's a really an egregious holding call that gets picked up. And so now you go from possibly, like you said, being only one score behind, to where now you're down what, 19? And yeah, I mean, we did respond, but that this, I kind of thought that, if Purdue was gonna like have a realistic shot of beating Notre Dame, they needed to keep it tight. You wanted to keep it within, like a one or two possession game, and to where, you get there in the fourth, and now, Notre Dame would then have hopefully feel that pressure. And I think that's where too you would have looked to from like, hey, a guy like CJ Carr, who's young, doesn't necessarily have the type of experience where you want to put him in a pressure situation of having to make plays. But that sequence that you just talked about, that really did seem to be the one that just kind of it really just kind of turned the game on its head for Purdue. And I think it made it more of like a, okay, like, man, you're going to really need something special to happen to really get back in this game properly. And you hadn't really seen anything to that point, with the defense, that made it feel like, okay, you're going to be able to string together consecutive stops to buy the offense time to be able to, to then put multiple drives together and kind of put on a run of like, unanswered scores.
And I do want to talk about some positive things, because while the score obviously wasn't where we wanted it, it wasn't all bad either. And I think one guy to really highlight is Ryan Brown. I thought he really played his tail off. He made some plays in that first half with his feet, when he had to, when kind of some of the pressure broke down there. He made some really good throws, man. Like that touchdown to Nitro in the corner of the end zone was just an absolute
That's a good
dime.
blow. Yeah.
He did, have the one interception, which wasn't total, was a tip ball, so those things happen. But in the red zone, he was a whole, much better, which is, one thing we really wanted to see. Purdue was in the red zone three times and scored each time. Now, granted, you'd like to see them turn those more into touchdowns, but all in all, man, 250 yards and a touchdown, and of course he had the receiving touchdown as well. I was really impressed with how he played in a tough road environment there.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I think for the most part, he played pretty solid. Yeah, like 21 for like even I guess I hadn't really looked at his stat line before, before we got on here to record. But yeah, 21-34 for 250, a touchdown. Like you said, yeah, the pick I don't really put on him. The deflections, those kind of happen. That's kind of what happens when your defense is able to kind of get to get deflections and stuff like that. You can get lucky and guys in the right place at the right time type piece. But yeah, I thought he played really well, pretty rather composed for the most part. If anything, honestly, I actually kind of wish he would have run a bit more. I felt like there was a portion of the game, especially I think in the first half, where they were doing the RPO and or he's doing like a read option, and it felt like every time he was giving the ball to Makhabin, and there was a few times where I was like, man, I think he needs to. I felt like he needed to keep it himself a few more times just to keep the defense honest of like, because they were selling out to. It seemed like they were selling out to Makhabin, and so I'm like, when you see that happening, I felt like in his situation, you got to keep it a few times just to make him one to, to hopefully be able to get off a big run, but also, just to keep somebody on that defense honest of like, okay, well, wait, we can't forget that he can run. But yeah, all in all, I think he had a pretty solid, he had a solid game.
Yeah. And a pretty interesting stat too, with the touchdown pass that Mockaby threw to Ryan Brown. It was the first Boilermaker running back to throw a touchdown pass since 2001 when Montrell Lowe did it. So really good play call. They called it up at the perfect time. I think that was just kind of another frustrating thing is I feel like they were coached. They made the right play calls at the right time, with the fake punt. Mm-hmm. You had some weird like after snap penalties and some things like that, especially early on. Felt like Purdue was a little rattled early, but really seemed to kind of calm down. But just thought that was interesting. And then the other guy that Sim, I think we have to talk about on offense, who is really to me starting to become wide receiver number one, and that's Nitro Tuggle. He's had three catches, 66 yards. Now three straight games where he's caught a touchdown pass. And he's really kind of seemed to emerge as a big play wide receiver.
Yeah, no, I think he's, we talked about again, I think last week after the USC game about how, you're starting to have this good problem at wide receiver where you have multiple guys who Brown can go to. And yeah, I think Nitro Tuggle is definitely these last couple games. And I think what's even better is that he's done him stepping up has come against better competition. I think it's one thing, obviously, like no disrespect to, Ball State and Southern Illinois, but they're not necessarily the same level of competition that you see with, USC and Notre Dame. And the fact that he's been able to win on his routes, get open and make plays against those teams, that gives you, that encourages you a lot. Cause that's a guy who you see, okay, well, what can his ceiling be? And so, yeah, I mean, he definitely had a good game, a standout game. And I think he's just, I still consider we probably go like four deep when I think about the wide receivers. I feel like there's four you can really kind of rely on between Michael Jackson, Nitro, Armand Branch, and then was it EJ Horton? I feel like those have been guys this year who I feel like consistently you've been able to kind of look to. But yeah, Nitro definitely had another good game. And again, you love to see that, the fact of him wanting to step up against this better competition. And yeah, if he wants to become wide receiver one, okay. I'm not mad about that. Cause I think again, the other three guys who I mentioned, they're all pretty solid. So, but yeah, great. He was another bright spot of a Saturday.
Yeah. And I think the one other really bright spot, at least, to me, Sim, was Spencer All right. Three of three kicking to remain a perfect 7 of 7 this year, including a career long 48-yarder, which he nailed, and then also had a 26 and a 35-yarder. It's been really nice to see him kind of almost, I guess, safety blanket is not the right word, but just knowing that you have a kicker like that, he has been a really nice bright spot through this first month.
Odom's talked about it before the season. He's talked about it throughout the season so far about the importance of special teams, and to know that you have a guy like Spencer Porras who's been reliable. I think we all would agree. We would have rather we don't necessarily want to see him hitting 26 and 30.
You know those cravings that hit you out of nowhere? Charred steak tacos, silky mushroom risotto, or a perfect summer salad. When the craving hits, Cookunity delivers, made with real ingredients and no shortcuts. Get ready-to-eat meals delivered directly to your door, all tailored to your lifestyle, dietary needs, and cravings. Get what you're craving. Go to cookunity.com/crave or enter crave before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's cookunity.com/crave.
5 yard field goals, because I believe those are both the one, like the 35 yarder came after the turnover, 26 yarder, obviously, that just kind of means you're close to scoring. But nonetheless, to have a guy who you can rely on, and like you said, he hit that 48 yarder. So now you know too he can hit from distance. You're gonna, you know, there's gonna be times where you need to be able to get points however you can, or you need a kick maybe before the end of the half, or obviously to win the game. And week in and week out, as he continues to produce, it just gives you more confidence in the kicking game. To where, yeah, I think that just that obviously helps. If the offense isn't able to kind of move the ball the way we want to, we know we still have the ability to get points out of drives, and that can mean a lot in terms of the overall confidence of the team.
So Sim, I want to look big picture now. We're a month into the year. Purdue is 2-2, and you talked earlier about how like you didn't want to get too disappointed or frustrated from the game last week. And curious your thoughts because I don't, at least for me, not a lot has changed as far as the outcome or what this season can be for this team based off of that game against Notre Dame. I think Purdue is kind of right where most people thought they would be, winning the first two games and coming up a little bit short in these last two. But, to me, they, and we talked about it a little bit, especially after the USC game, they've kind of passed the eye test here in the first month. So just kind of curious your thoughts, like big picture, 1 month in, are they kind of where you thought they would be, or kind of what has stood out there?
Yeah, they are where I thought they would be. I think, if we were sitting here and, after this Notre Dame game and Purdue was somehow 4-0, I don't even, I mean, the energy on this call, I mean, on this particular pod would be insane. I think you'd be hearing some bottles popping in the background for sure. But I think, yeah, like I said, I would have been really concerned with for Purdue if they hadn't won those first two games. And then I look at that USC game, and albeit, I think what the just we lost by, I think, was like 16 or 17. If you watched that game, you saw there was an op there were opportunities. Like you saw, like, hey man, like that game could have been much closer. And then obviously, yeah, you go up, you take a, you know, you your comp level of competition goes up against Notre Dame, and again, you lose by 26. But kind of jokingly, what we were talking about before, recorded is like, well, last year you gave up 66 to him, you only scored 7. This year you scored 30. So I mean, there's definitely some positives to take away even out of the losses. And like you, I agree with you too that I don't think that what's transpired the last couple of weeks hasn't necessarily taken away from anything that I thought like this team could do this year. I think they can be competitive, especially against maybe some of the Maybe not like the top end of like because we're obviously gonna get back into Big Ten play, but maybe not so much against like the top part of the Big Ten. But there's gonna be some games against that those guys in the middle of the pack, and you might have you have a couple towards like with some of the lesser teams, even though we're not getting like the Wisconsins or the UCLAs of the world this year, which would be nice. But I still think that this team will have multiple games the rest of the way where they will be in it and they'll have an opportunity to win. And I think that's what at least I can say that's what you and I were talking about, was just wanting to see a competitive, disciplined team, a team that looked like they were trending in a certain direction. I think we can all say too that offensively, what you're seeing, I think we probably like that a lot more than what we've seen, that what we saw last year. And I think that that's where we might have to kind of hang our hat on going forward, is that like, hey, the offense is going to have to kind of do more of the heavy lifting. But I also don't think the defense is necessary. It's not a liability. I just think that, obviously they're going to have to try to force more turnovers. Might have to, blitz more. There's going to be certain adjustments I think that the defense is going to have to do to try to really be able to kind of pick it up a bit. But no, I don't necessarily feel like my I don't necessarily feel like my outlook on this team has been shaken. It's just kind of just losing sucks. Losing sucks, and especially like I said, with the USC game, felt like you had a chance to win, and then with Notre Dame, it was more of just like, all right, like yeah, that's a top 10 team right there. And so as frustrating as it was, you kind of have to put that in perspective as well. So yeah.
Yeah, and I think too, we'll have more when we, preview the Illinois game. But I think this bye week is coming at a really good time too, where you can kind of almost reset and kind of take a deep breath after these last two games, and one, kind of just get healthy, and two, like you said, especially on the defensive side, kind of go back and reassess kind of where you're at and kind of how you want to have a plan of attack moving forward. I think this bye week is coming at a great time to kind of reassess and, almost just take like a deep breath and just say, all right, we're okay. We got a
Right.
lot of games left. Obviously we have some things we need to change
Clean up.
and adjust, but we're okay right now.
No, I agree, man. I agree that it's not like the sky is falling. Yeah, two tough games that you just came off back to back, and I think like what USC is ranked now. I actually think that I think they're gonna have. I don't know if USC plays Notre Dame this year. I imagine they do, but like that'll be a good game. Like, and I think that'll be a game too. If we see it, we'll all be like, huh, don't actually feel as bad now. But yeah, I think I agree with you too. I think the bye week comes at a good time, where you're able to kind of sit back, kind of like we're doing, and reflect and be able to see, okay, what has worked, what hasn't worked. Spoilers on the defense, if you could do anything about the edges, please. XOXO, Simlonga. But yeah, man, I still have quite a bit of optimism about this team and about what they can do this season. I think that a lot of people should. We came into this year not really knowing what to expect. And when you have 80, was it 80, I think the number's 84, 84 new faces, 84 people, excuse me, 84 players whose it's their first year at Purdue. You really like to be 2-2, I think, through these four games was probably what everyone was thinking it was hoping for. If you were 3-1, that would have been anything above that. Like 3-1, obviously 4-0, that would have been phenomenal. But yeah, still good. We're still all right.
Yeah, and one, super interesting match this week, if you need a game to watch, is going to be USC, I believe, goes to Illinois this week. And so that could be a really good game. But yeah, man, I think it's just a good time to, excuse me, a good time to just kind of reset. And we'll talk a lot about it in the next episode when we preview Illinois, but October is going to be just a huge month, for Purdue and kind of, There's a lot of opportunity there. I'll say that, and you feel good about where the team is headed. But it'll all start after the bye week against Illinois. Back at home will be a interesting game for sure. Because I don't know if you saw much of the Illinois IU game, but
It
man,
was bell to ass.
they got roughed up a little bit. So really, will be interesting to see kind of how they respond this week. Much to kind of how we talk about, how we were curious to see how the Bullies will respond. Very interested to see how kind of Illinois responds after that game. So we will have much more on the preview episode. But Sim, I want to switch gears a little bit because we need to talk a little volleyball because the ladies are just balling right now. They had another impressive weekend where they knocked off Ball State and IU Indy. And have now won seven in a row and wrap up the non-con 9-1. And Sim, I don't think any of us when we did the preview episode with Nate really thought that realistically that we'd be 9-1 heading into the non-con, but man, what a performance. And now they're ranked in the top 10 now. So just, I mean, I don't think there's enough good things you can say about how the ladies have played, here to start the year.
Yeah, man. We talked about it, mentioned it, I think last week, where it was like, all right, especially with the way the season started, just a few, five setters that we weren't expecting to be five setters, and it was kind of like, oh man, like, yeah, this could be a bit bumpier ride than maybe we're used to. But the way that these ladies have responded, and yeah, you said like stringing together seven straight sometimes, and I think we've talked about this in basketball. Sometimes when you're putting together a win streak, there's gonna be some matches that are that you kind of have to squeak by, and you have to win ugly. And these ladies have been able to do that, but then also they've been dominant in some of these as well. So for them to come out of the non-con 9-1. Obviously, the only thing we could ask is that they would have gone 10-0. But now that they're going into conference play with a lot of confidence, a lot of momentum, and you're hopeful that they can be able to string some together here early in the conference season, because right around the corner is that stretch we talked about when we had Nate on, where in the course of what is it, like 10 days, you're gonna play three ranked teams. You're gonna play UCLA. You're gonna play USC. Those will both be on the road, and then you come back and you play Ohio State on the road, and then you come back and you finish off that four game stretch with Nebraska in West Lafayette. So obviously trying to stack these wins up as much as you can, continue to get better. Hopefully that four game stretch, they're able to once again kind of surprise us and maybe take two or three of those. But yeah, I mean it's definitely. I think the level of optimism for the volleyball team is up. We're just talking about the football team about how it ne hasn't necessarily dipped. It's kind of held firm. But I think for the volleyball team, it's definitely level of optimism of what this team can do has definitely gone up. I think where we're at now versus where we might have been, going into the season, where it was a lot more cautious, a lot more reserved.
Yeah, and I think if memory serves right, Nate picked Purdue to upset Nebraska in that game too.
Was that
I
Nate who did
can't
that?
quite, I can't quite remember, but I think he did. But Sim, I did just want to highlight one thing that you called out, and I think it's a really good point, especially with this past weekend. You're coming off an impressive victory in Lexington against number 10 ranked SMU. And then you have these two games wedged in at home, well, one on the road in Muncie and then at home before you start Big Ten play against, some teams that you should beat. But it kind of could have been a very much, kind of letdown matches, and they go to Muncie and sweep Ball State, and then they take the series against IU Indy 3-1. And so, it was very businesslike. And that to me is, really impressive in, a couple of matches that could have been let down matches. And they went out there and they really took care of business.
Yeah, and especially because you had 5 days in between that the SMU game and that Ball State game, and like you said, when you're coming off a high like that, to have all that time to kind of sit back and relish in it, like it can set you up for maybe not necessarily losing, but allowing Ball State to probably be in it more than they should have, and for them to just come out on Friday and be like, no, we're just gonna, like, three and done, we're gonna get up on out of here, and then turn around on Sunday, and I believe they dropped the first set, but then they won the next three. So yeah, taking care of both Ball State and IU Indy in relatively quick fashion, that just shows again, yeah, that this team is still locked in, they're playing together as one, and yeah, it just was an opportunity for them to kind of. To have a hiccup or two, and they just were like, no, it's not it. And like you said, like they run into some games now where they probably where they were some winnable Big Ten games, and hopefully they can keep that momentum going. But yeah, I thought that's a great point that you call out in terms of how they responded after some positive, that high of beating SMU.
Now they have a couple of, really exciting matches here this week. Both will be at home and both will be inside Mackey Arena. So really cool atmospheres. They'll take on Washington on Thursday the 25th. That'll be a 6:30 start. And then Sunday the 28th, they'll take on Illinois, also in Mackey, and that'll be a 2 p.m. start, and I believe both matches will be on Big Ten Network as well. So a chance for, it's always cool to play in Mackey Arena. So you get two matches there. But then to your point, Sim, as well, these are kind of two big ones at home that you need because, we'll talk about it later, but the road gets a whole lot tougher when you have to go out to LA for a long weekend, and then Ohio State and Nebraska. Like, that's a brutal four-game stretch right there. So these two games at home at Mackey feel like some big ones just to try to stack some conference wins.
Yeah, no, man, like just like the basketball team had to do last year, and when they got hot, you got to win those games. There's going to be some matches that you that are kind of lower hanging fruit, and you got to get those ones. You got to get those ones to kind of stare, stash them in the way, kind of stash them in the bank to kind of give yourself a little bit of margin for error, because losing to Nebraska isn't necessarily going to be like a bad thing again on your resume. And I imagine kind of the same thing with the UCLA or USC, but if you're playing around with some of these other games, the other matches, that's when you can find yourself now in a real pickle, and now you're trying to win just in terms of like making it in the tourney, as opposed to trying to necessarily play for a particular seed. So yeah, fingers crossed for the ladies that they're able to keep this momentum up. And then yeah, like I guess I'll check with Nate to see to confirm whether or not he was actually saying that they were beating Nebraska. So yeah,
It's just a rumor that I heard.
know. I thought it was someone else on that episode. So what do I
Well,
know?
if I will say this, if it does happen, then I will have called it. And if
Lucky
it
guy.
doesn't happen, then it definitely came from Nate.
This dude.
So we'll see. But best of luck to the ladies this weekend. Again, Washington on Thursday the 25th, 6:30 start, and then Illinois the 28th, 2 p.m. start. Both those again at Mackey Arena. So if you're in the Lafayette area, be sure to check that out and go support the ladies there. That'll just about do it for this episode. We obviously won't have a preview episode as the Boilermakers are off this week, but we'll be back next week as they get ready to return home and take on Illinois. And we'll be ready to preview that one, as well as talk a little volleyball as well. And hopefully, we're talking about a couple more wins there. But win or lose, we'll be here to break it down. I want to thank everybody for their continued support, for all the interactions on social media. I have really enjoyed those. But most importantly, boiler up.
Yes, sir.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.